Okay, so why do we care about Trichomonas vaginalis among HIV-infected women? Well, first of all, there's a very high prevalence. We see prevalence rates ranging between 10 and 30% of HIV-infected women also have Trichomonas vaginalis. In addition to that, Trichomonas vaginalis has been associated with increased vaginal shedding of HIV, and a couple of studies that have been conducted have demonstrated that once you treat a woman who has HIV and Trichomonas, you can reduce that shedding. So there's a direct link to prevention, potential prevention of perinatal and sexual transmission of HIV should the Trichomonas be treated properly. However, we see really high rates of recurrence rate in Trichomonas in HIV-infected women, as high as 2 to 3 times higher rates of recurrence or repeat infections among HIV-infected women compared to non-HIV-infected women. In fact, the rates range between 18 to 36% for HIV-infected compared to the 7 to 8% for HIV-uninfected. In a comparison study that we did at 1 month looking at among HIV-infected women and HIV-negative women, we found a twofold higher rate of repeat infections in that group. So, treatment for Trichomonas vaginalis, the recommended treatment is presently, the first line of treatment is metronidazole 2 grams orally in a single dose, or tinidazole 2 grams in a single dose. The alternative is to provide the woman with 500 milligrams of metronidazole twice a day for 7 days. However, most of these studies that have been conducted, the studies that have been conducted to provide those recommendations had been done with HIV-uninfected women, so we don't know that much about if that treatment is appropriate for HIV-infected women. So the purpose of this randomized trial was to examine if the two gram single dose of metronidazole was as effective as the alternative of 7 day 500 milligram BID dose for the treatment of Trichomonas vaginalis among HIV-infected women. We started the study in just New Orleans, and then we expanded it to several other sites. So we enrolled HIV-infected women who underwent a routine gynecological examination performed by a clinical provider between May 1st of 2006 to July 17th of 2009. They had been tested for Trichomonas vaginalis using a culture, the in-pouch culture. Women were enrolled in 5 different sites, 2 sites in New Orleans, 2 sites in Houston, and 1 site in Jackson, Mississippi. There was several different inclusion criteria. First, of course, they had a confirmed HIV infection. They had to be 18 years of age or older, speaking English. They were confirmed by a positive culture. They had to be willing to take metronidazole, and they had to agree to refrain from alcohol consumption because of the contraindication between metronidazole and alcohol consumption. Exclusion criterion were they could not be pregnant, they could not be incarcerated, they couldn't be taking disulfiram because of the contraindication of taking metronidazole with that. They couldn't have been treated with metronidazole in the previous 14 days. They couldn't have been diagnosed with bacterial vaginosis per the AMSEL criterion. We did not have that. They were variously enrolled with, they could have had bacterial vaginosis, but it couldn't be symptomatic bacterial vaginosis because if they were symptomatic, they would have had to have the 7 day dose of metronidazole. And then they couldn't have any contraindications to taking metronidazole. And they had to be able to provide informed consent. And the right-hand corner there is a picture of the in-pouch culture, for those of you who haven't seen that. We obtained written consent, and we randomized the women into one of the two arms using a blocked randomization scheme. We also gave the participants counseling. We told them to refrain from sexual intercourse, to refrain from alcohol consumption in the next 24 hours. We advised them on the different side effects that could happen with metronidazole, notably upset stomach, dizziness, headache. We also provided them with snacks to eat while they were, because the metronidazole can cause an upset stomach. And we had them wait in the clinic for 15 minutes to make sure that they didn't have some kind of reaction. The women who were on the 2 gram dose, we directly observed their medication. The women on the 7 day dose, we observed the first dose of medication, and then they were on their own for the next doses. We also provided them with patient-delivered partner therapy so that they could bring the medication to their partners to assure that their partners were actually getting treated as well. And in that, we provided them the medication in childproof containers with instructions for their partners to the same instructions that we gave the women, to refrain from alcohol consumption and to call if they had any questions. We gave them a 24-hour pager number. We followed the women at 1 month and again at 3 and 6 and 3 months. Women were tested for trichomonas using the in pouch, as I mentioned before, and they were scheduled to have their test of cure visit 6 to 12 days post completion of treatment, so that for the women who had the 2-gram dose, it would be 6 to 12 days later. For the women on the 7-day dose, it would have been after 7 days, 6 to 12 days after that 7 days. We also asked them a battery of behavioral questions using computer-assisted self-administered interview, asking them specific information about each partner, about sexual exposure, re-exposure, about if adherence to their medication, adherence to their expedited partner treatment, and a number of other questions. We of 2,833 women who were screened, 16.9% tested positive for trichomonas. 110 were ineligible for various reasons, some of them because they had symptomatic BV. Some just refused to participate in the study, and others, women couldn't be contacted. Some women, we took the in pouch and we didn't get their results until several days later, and so we called them back and they couldn't come back to the study. So we came, if you look at this scheme, if you come down to, we didn't have any loss to follow-up at the test of cure visit, but we came down to 255 evaluable units, 125 on the single dose arm and 130 on the 7-day arm. When we looked at the characteristics by arm, they were similar with respect to age, race, the number of sex partners, if they were on antiretroviral therapy for their HIV, their CD4 cell counts were similar, their plasma viral loads were similar, and also the site of enrollment was similar. So we felt like randomization worked. At the test of cure, 94.4% return for the test of cure, and as I mentioned before, 125 in the single dose arm and 130 in the 7-day arm. There was no difference in the arms, as I mentioned before. 96% of the participants reported taking all of their medication, and majority of the participants reported no secondary or side effects from the medication. Here is a listing of the reported side effects by arm, and you can see that none of these are statistically different. There might be a bit of a trend for upset stomach with a 7-day dose, which is kind of, you would think it would be the opposite, that the 2-gram dose would be more likely to do that. So this is the results that we found. The test of cure, the 7-day arm, they were half as likely to get a repeat infection. The rate there was 8.5, and in the 2-gram arm, it was 16.8. And that confidence interval, the p-value is 0.045. We went on to look again at 3 months. There was a secondary outcome, but because of the known lack of sensitivity of the in pouch, we decided to also look at the 3-month as well. So we did that. And if you look here at this graph, you can see that at 3 months, we also found statistical significance with the 7-day dose being lower than the single dose, 11% compared to 24% repeat infection rate, and the p-value of 0.03. So in conclusion, the 7-day 500 milligram BID dose of metronidazole resulted in significantly lower repeat infection compared to the 2-gram single dose of metronidazole for this group of HIV infected women. Additionally, there were no differences found between treatment adherence and side effects by arm, making the 7-day dose just as acceptable as the single-day dose. So our final conclusion would be that metronidazole single dose should no longer be recommended for the treatment of Trichomonas vaginalis among HIV-positive women, and it's acceptable, and so that's our suggestion. I'd like to thank my co-investigators, notably Dr. David Martin, who is the principal investigator of the center, Susan Rosenthal, Leandra Mena, and a number of other, and the collaborators at all the different institutions that we worked at, and the NIH for funding the study. Thank you very much, and then these are just for your information if you'd like the references. Thank you very much. Any questions? Yes.
Mr. Park, how did you, they came back and were not cured in 3 months? What were they treated with?
Oh, that's a good question. It was variously, we went by the protocol of the clinic. So, well, the same thing happened at the test of cure visit or 3 months that they came back and they were, so if they were on 2 gram, they went on to go and get probably 7 day. If they were on 7 gram, a 7 day dose, 7 day treatment, they might have repeated the 7 day treatment or whatever the protocol of the clinic was at that time. I certainly hope so, and I'm going to send it, and as soon as it gets published, I'm going to email it to everybody I can and make sure that it gets, because I think that we should do that now. It's a randomized, multi-center trial. The randomization worked. It was a well-controlled trial. I think that, we made the recommendations based on just a couple of clinical trials that were HIV uninfected women, and that was enough to make it in the recommendation. So I'm hoping that this will change, because really I think that with that kinds of recurrence rates, trichomonas, and the fact that it's, really important among HIV infected women to get them treated well. Oh, question. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I'm for anyone in the audience, but you probably would know this most, internationally our recommendations for the 7 day therapy are a little different than the U.S.
Oh, okay.
400 BID instead of 500 BID. And I suppose without a trial we won't know, if you find a similar result. But do you have any information about whether you think things would be different with 400 versus 500?
I don't. And I, do you have any information on recurrence rates? Pardon me? Oh, the question was, internationally, that the dosing for 7 day is 400 milligrams rather than 500 milligrams
in many countries.
So it's about 100 milligrams less than what we're giving here. And so I have no information on that, but it would be well worth investigating, because particularly in international countries where prevalence of HIV is high, it could be very crucial. And if you look at Sorville, did a graph and showed the prevalence rates of trichomonas and how much HIV could be transmitted given the known association between trichomonas and in transmission of HIV, it would be a really crucial question, I think. So something we should look into. Yes, David.
So obviously I don't have a question, but I do want to point out something that I thought was very interesting in these data, and that is that the difference at 3 months was even greater than it was totally expected on my part, because the results of 3 months should be diluted by reinfections. And you would predict that that would occur equally over a 3 month period among those who were treated with a single dose versus a 7 day.
Right. Well, we didn't have. There was, I think, 24% of the women reported sexual exposure in the three-month follow-up, but there was no difference between arms. What we did see, very much like Peterman reported in HIV uninfected women, we did see a group of women that were negative at test of cure, reported no sexual exposure, and then were positive at 3 months. So there is some kind of latent dormancy going on with trichomonas, and so that may explain some of that. But yes, it was more magnified at 3 months.
Thing is that it also, to me, implies that treatment failure, even out of 3 months, is still a major effect of the reinfection.
Good point. Yes.
And it goes along with trichomonas. It's probably a very chronic infection.
Mm-hmm.
These women have relatively fewer sex partners, and so therefore the chances of reinfection are probably less great in this population than others. And again, we're seeing
more evidence that the trichomonas should be a reportable disease. We should be screening for it, particularly in HIV-infected women, where the ante is even higher. But if we're going to start anywhere, let's start with HIV-infected women if we can't get it screened for the whole population. But yes, so that's a good point that there is, and the epidemiology demonstrates that too. It's in older women. Trichomonas, we're seeing it in older women because there is this asymptomatic carriage for a long time until they finally get picked up at some point. Okay, thank you so much for your attention.